It's Wednesday, July 31st, and this is Rev Thoughts, snackable conversations between Tim Thompson and myself, Joel Pilger. Our topic today is Marketing is Not for Quitters. To give you a little context about today's Rev Thoughts, this is a conversation that Tim Thompson and Ashley Talusik and I had back at the Promax conference in between sessions. We sat down and had this little chat about marketing.
Here's the way I'm thinking is that what we know is that sales needs marketing in order to be successful sales. Mm-hmm. That we've established that plenty of times. Mm-hmm. The thought I'm having is that business owners, in a way, they don't want to do marketing.
Because they don't struggle believe, with that. They don't actually believe what you just said. They don't, I don't know, maybe believe is too strong a word. But they believe the answer is sales. Sales solves all problems. So when you say to them, no, what you really need is marketing, they just kind of go, "You're that doesn't make any sense. I need sales."
I guess my theory is that they don't think they need marketing. Is they don't know the difference between marketing and sales.
That's
they
part
just
of it.
They can't. They think it's the same thing. So when we say sales solves all problem, or we say you need marketing, they're saying, "Yeah, sales. A salesperson needs to do that for me." Or then they jump to total stupidity and say, cool, I'll start a Facebook page and post my reel there instead of my reel on my website, as if looking at someone's reel is the answer.
Or as we discussed on a couple weeks ago, like, I have a website. Like, we're doing marketing.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever. Well, then the reason why people quit is because if they're posting on Facebook and they're posting on Instagram and LinkedIn, but they're not seeing the dollar change, they're not seeing the results or the metrics they want on those social media accounts, they instantly give up. But they're giving up right before the breaking point where it turns into that curiosity that creates that conversation that then actually gives that sales rep, you know, ammo to do their job.
So I'm going to back up a second here, because I think what you're, it's almost like I don't think you and I are on the same page, is that you believe that marketing just requires an education of what marketing is. I believe that people don't want to do marketing because it's too, I'll just use the word vulnerable. Like, you have to actually say something that you kind of believe in or don't believe in or about yourself. And I personally hated that. Like, I hated the process that we went through to market RevThink because it felt like either it wasn't me or it was too much me. And I'm like, whoa, 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 you're putting me way, way, way far.
Like, too raw.
Yeah, I hated it.
Because it's not polished and figured out and all thought through and ready to present.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's, right. I mean, and then you guys really, like, it's almost frustrating sometimes because you guys keep sticking microphones in my face or whatever, turn on a camera on me, and I'm in the middle of trying to think about what it is going to be. And that's the moment you guys want to catch for marketing. And I keep in my head going, like, this could be a disaster. I don't know what it is.
Right.
And that feels like out there.
Well, I will say this, that one thing I definitely feel strongly about in trying to help owners understand one of the central ingredients in marketing is it's this idea of conversations, not presentations. Okay. But often what that looks like is I want your prospective clients to see how you think, not the results of your thinking. Okay, I want to see them you thinking in real time, because that's what's far more interesting, is seeing how when stuff's coming at you in real time and you're thinking about it, you're processing it, how does your brain work? So for example, if I'm a client and I'm saying I'm going to hire production company Tim Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not all that interested in what you stayed up all night the other night putting together a deck and making a bunch of pretty slides, and then you're going to stand up and rehearse something to me. I'm like, that's not the reality of what I'm going to experience if I hire you. If I hire you, we're going to get in the trenches together, and we're going to make the sausage and get our hands in it. So I want to see, what's that like?
Yeah, but I'll just say, like, but that's ugly. Like, I don't – look, when I look at a photo of me, when I listen to my voice being recorded, when
listen to your own voicemail, that's always a good one.
Yeah. It's ugly because I can't change it, just who I am or whatever, where that I feel like what I want with a client is put my best foot forward. So I want a touched up photograph, or I want your voice instead of my voice, you know.
But that's the problem. It's you're creating this expectation of yourself that people are not going to see in you when they work with you.
Yeah, it's because the '80s. I want the '80s again.
Yes. Well, you nailed it, because actually I think the thing you're talking about is a generational challenge, because when I look at, for example, my daughter and her generation, the idea of, you know, communicating, sharing things real time, that's just so normal. It's not at all processed and thought through and presented and structured, because again, we're in the era of, I don't know if you want to reference Kardashians, you want to reference any reality TV, that there's something about in today's world, getting over it and being comfortable with putting yourself out there, because it's that vulnerability is, well, I'm going to reference Brene Brown. Okay, so go watch that TED Talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Power of Vulnerability.
By the way, did you see her Netflix
thing? Oh, yeah. It's great. Oh, it's so a great good. Show. It's yeah, a great yeah. show. But I think she makes a great point that true greatness isn't possible without vulnerability. And having to get over that shame thing, which is really not real. It's this weird thing we have inside of us that says, oh, I have to be perfect. I have to be dressed up. I have to have a presentation and bullet points and all this kind of stuff. And I think the smarter folks who really understand marketing realize, no, it's not about that. It's not about having all the answers. It's showing me how you think.
I'm just going to tell you, I still don't like it. I mean, from...
No, I know. You don't... I understand. You don't like it. It's okay.
I mean, yeah. It's almost unfair to catch somebody mid-process where they're just thinking. Or in a lot of ways, I find even... like it's ingenuine. Some marketing seems that way. Where
you
they're
mean disingenuous?
Disingenuous, thank you. Mm-hmm. Where like it's just so like processing all the time that you almost get burned out on that. And I don't want to be seen as the guy that's always processing, because that's like another right. weird marketing
well,
thing.
Yeah, like don't mistake what I'm saying. Here's what I'm not saying. It's not like I want the camera and the microphone and the Twitter feed to always be on. And there's this stream of consciousness that's constantly going out to Tim, you know, from Tim Thompson Productions to the world. That's not it either. It's just a mix. It's a healthy mix of, sure, when I go to your website, crystal clear positioning, totally understand where, who you are, what you're about, what your mission is. And I'm like jiving with that. And I'm like, hey, this company believes what I believe. That's really cool. Then when I go to some sort of a social media feed, if I hear you on a podcast or whatever, I want to hear the raw, real you and hear you thinking, see you thinking. And if I do, if you come and do a presentation and do a screening to me, Mr. Client, I want to see how you think.
But I'm okay with that. Like, get me in the room with real human beings where I can see their response. They can ask me questions. You know me, I even love generating questions in the room so I can get to a point where I'm just answering questions.
So play to your strength, right?
With a microphone and a camera, or like with, you know, just writing an article, you put it out there and you don't get that feedback.
Well, I'll just give you the example, right? When we started the Rev Thinking podcast, the dirty little secret is it was simply playing to a strength I had and a strength you have called, we can talk a lot.
We've proven this,
yeah. Right? But it's the reason we don't write a lot of articles, because that's not our strength. We do it because sometimes it's necessary and it's appropriate way, a more appropriate way to present structured ideas and so forth that are more evergreen, out there forever. But those are excruciating to write.
That's why people burn out. Tim Thompson Productions would burn out if you had to write blog articles every day.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
You'd die. You would
it's
die.
Just not what I do.
You'd put a gun
to your
really
head.
But you're
really good holding this microphone and talking. And that is way less burnout.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. What I'm really good at is when people just call me and ask me questions, and I can just answer their questions. I've spent a lifetime studying answers. So when you have a question, I get there. Just give me questions. I'm happy doing it. But for me to answer a question before I know what it is or to guess what it is, I almost feel like that's unfair.
There's something magical there. And I discovered this when I started doing Jumpstart, right? Because part of one of the core elements in that accelerator is this live Q&A that I do every week.
Yeah, right.
And I can remember within a few weeks of exposing myself to, I am on camera and people are throwing questions at me in real time. And at first I was terrified until I realized, oh, this is, I won't say it's easy, but it's kind of like, this is great. This is fun. Like, keep it coming. Because like you, if somebody said, Joel, stand up and share all of your wisdom about topic A, I'm kind of frozen. It's like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes at me and says, here's a problem I have, help me answer this question, I can go all day.
All day long.
All day.
As a matter of, we can do 2.5 days because we've done that at conferences.
Yes.
Just start, keep feeding
you just
us.
Just teed up.
Just got to get teed up. Yeah. Something about the way my brain works. So again, I play to my strengths. And so I think maybe anyone listening, ask yourself the question, when it comes to marketing, if you're going to be vulnerable, if you're going to expose yourself, in effect, ask yourself the question, but how do I do that in a way that plays to my strengths?
Well, I was going to just say that, because then what is the trick to do it? Because the business owner has to be like me, wondering, where do they start? How do they get there? How do you tee yourself up in such a way? I'm lucky to have you guys.
Well, first of all,
ask me the questions.
You know, this, like, okay, now we drill down a layer deeper, and that is, make sure you're clear about what's your genius. So make sure you've identified, what is it I'm truly great at? Focus on that, delegate the other pieces. Now, a common answer to that with owners is they're usually the person that can own the room and close the deal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a classic creative director / owner genius.
Easy.
Okay. What I would say is, then get out of your own way when it comes to marketing, social media, email blasts, awareness building, because that all requires scale, and it can actually be done by somebody who is perhaps a marketing assistant who has that as their genius.
Yeah. I feel like your version of marketing inspires those questions that the owners can ask. Right?
For example?
I don't know. Like, it seems like the Q&As, or, you know, like the webinar you do?
Mm-hmm.
You basically put something out there that people begin to start sending questions to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're currently in a, we might need explained, by the way, I did not mean to record this. You know, that like you just threw this microphone in front of me, which again, I'm going to say to you, this always feels so awkward.
This is very raw.
It's these mid thought things you keep putting in front of me, but we're at the ProMess conference and they're going to kick us out of this room. So I'm guessing.
Yeah. Right. Actually, are we getting booted?
4 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So we have a lot of talking time.
Okay. Sweet.
Well, I mean, do you want to put a bow on that thought? I know we've been chatting on this for a stretch here, but that idea of how, like in a webinar, it's a way that I start conversations and then I am essentially stirring up questions.
Yeah.
So that people can come at me and ask.
Yeah. I'll go back to the original thought. Like, what is the way, or how do business owners get to a point where they can turn the tables and find that comfort spot or their strength? Because at first you seem to have to like post a pretty image and put random thoughts out there, and you're just basically doing what we now know as a little amateur, just start something. But at some point, and I'm not gonna mention names right now, but I've seen some of our clients really hit their sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And they really are doing amazing work in social media, and it's feeding right back into their strengths, and they can reply to the questions, reply to the answers. So I'll say this, because I feel like I've been more of the recipient or the victim to this process. You guys clearly have a method, and maybe one of them is you have to yell at me once a week to get this thing in front of me. But what is the madness to your method?
Well, I mean, if I was going to sum it up, I would say here's how it stacks up. That you get clear about your genius, and I mean you, the owner, right, the principal. From that, you build your positioning. So you carve out a very narrow, clear positioning based on your expertise, right? You then start to put that out into the world, and that's called outreach. So you start doing powerful outreach, and that's systems and routines.
Okay? But this you isn't just the business owner.
That's
clarify.
Right. Yeah,
it's your delegates, the
exactly.
People you've given that responsibility to.
Yes, and that's a system and a routine that you delegate. That then enables you to connect and start building relationships with better clients, where you're sharing your expertise, you're building trust, you're starting to talk about solving deeper problems, you're not just selling commodity services.
Right.
And then from that comes the ultimate top of the pyramid, which is great work. That's what everybody really wants. It's like, I just want to do great work, because great work means great budgets, it means reputation, it means, you know, it's fame, fortune, freedom, all those
yeah,
things.
Right. The influence you're looking
so
for.
So that's the framework. And I think but it all starts at the bottom with identifying your genius and knowing this is what I, the owner, should focus on and delegate all those other things, which are those systems and routines that are marketing.
So I already know you guys do this. Maybe all of our listeners don't know this, but I know you guys do this well. Like, there's an audit that you go through to find the genius. It's everyone knows it, but it's good to have someone to just bounce it off and do that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a process.
Can you give me just one recent example, maybe, of somebody that the genius finally tipped over? Like there was a struggle, and then you had a. You're smiling. You must be thinking of somebody. Well, I put you on the spot.
No, I'm trying to think which one I would mention. Well, I think what's interesting is I'm thinking of one recent example, and again, I won't name specific names, but a studio that has four owners. Okay. Ooh. So that's kind of complicated.
Yeah.
Because you've got four cooks in a kitchen.
Four personalities.
Right. Running a company, right? And I had this, I told them, look, in order for us to do this positioning work and really help you stand out, be sticky, break through people's brains and all this, we've got to get clear about what your genius is because it will inform your positioning. So they went through the genius exercise that is this simple worksheet that I take people through. And they each got really clear. Oh yeah, I'm the sales guy. Oh, I'm really the creative director guy. Oh, I'm the operations and finance guy, all these things. And then once they got clear about that, we were then in a position to start this positioning exercise. And what's funny is fast forward to today, the process has been incredibly frustrating for them. And I always know this is how it goes. Like the process of saying who you are in the world, which is positioning, is torture. And I always try and warn people, you're going to hate it. You're going to say I'm wrong. You're not going to like me. You're going to be so frustrated. You're going to think I'm full of crap.
It's totally my experience.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And then some breakthrough happens. And sometimes you know, like in this case, these four partners said, yeah, but this didn't come about because we got clear about our genius. And my argument is, in a roundabout way, it did.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't really care how we got here, but we're here. And I had to push you. I had to punch you. I had to cajole you. I had to manipulate you to stay with the process until you got really clear about who you really, really are and why you're really, really different from everybody else in the world. And then when the light finally came on, they were like, oh my God, I can't believe this. We're here. This is who we are. We get it now.
Because by the way, like I'll say, I understand the thought that it feels like this is not coming from discovering your genius. But even if you always knew what that was, that genius positioning was, to have someone identify it so that when it presents itself, you can say, there it is, I can see it. To not be able to see that ahead of time, you can't leverage it, you can't move things forward. You don't even know how to respond to that the return you're getting on positioning yourself well, finding that niche and going after it. Or I'll say it this way too. Also by identifying it, you know when you're off track. You know where you don't want to go and you can get back to it. And just basic definition creates a lot of clarity. Even if it's always there, that clarity is very key.
Yeah, I think actually you put your finger on it there that the real value of getting clear about your genius and your positioning is knowing all the things you're not.
Yeah.
Now we know why we don't run a dry cleaner. We know why we're not a law firm. We know why we don't wash windows. Like, no, we do motion design, whatever that thing is.
But not even from an outward experience, your internal team is more clear. And Bingo. When your internal team's more clear, there's less drama. There's, you know, more efficiency. And marketing is not just one person. So if it's top to bottom approach, if the owner of the company gets it and knows their positioning, then they can relay that to the next person and to the next person, and it's just way more smooth.
Yeah, everyone's on the same team. Everyone's coming out of the same playbook.
And I feels like that is one of the biggest issues we see. Maybe the most obvious issue we see is
I think it's
people are trying to be everything to everyone.
Yeah, and I also feel like some of the production company owners are tasking these younger individuals who have come out of college or spent a couple of years in the agency world and are doing social media with, oh, just go figure that out for us.
Yeah. Oh, as right. If it's and a login and a password.
It's like, yeah, log into WordPress. You got it. And it's like, no, they are more than capable of creating that, but they have to have the framework to run with. And without the framework, you're just asking for problems. Yeah. Because then you're going to be caught like...
How many times have we, I'll say in the past, engaged a marketing company on behalf of one of our clients and I'll say like a PR firm. That's probably the best example.
Yeah, yeah.
And we, and it's this idea where the owner says, "Oh, we just want to hire a PR firm," quote unquote.
My favorite.
Yeah, to do that stuff, to get that message out there. And here's the way I challenge owners. I say, "Tell you what, let's talk to 3 different PR firms and give them a sample project and say, how would you write an article about this recent project that we did? Go ahead, do it and show it to us." And I guarantee you 3 out of 3 will have it all wrong. Right. They'll have it totally wrong because they don't understand, one, they don't understand your genius, and number two, they really don't live and breathe, eat, sleep your positioning. So they're always off, always. And so what happens is you end up getting this content being published that's like, whatever. Oh, we did a shoot and here's the behind the scenes.
Milk
and
toast.
I'm like, really?
They don't have any filter to put it through.
Yeah, they just don't. They kind of go with, oh, you did a shoot and here's behind the scenes and that's the article. And I'm like, really? Yeah. That's what we're going to publish about?
Well, I swear we could do, I wish we could do a 7-day seminar to walk people through this process, because you have to be an ingredient in that routine. You have to be. You can't just passively hire out your marketing, assume someone's going to run with it, and what they say is going to be you. They're going to say everything that's safe. They're going to copy what everyone else is doing, and you have to throw yourself into that. You have to make a routine to make that happen.
It's not unlike a lot of delegations, like, oh, we just need a sales rep.
Oh, yeah. You beat me to it. That was what I was going to say. I was like, you just talked with Neil, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and you guys were in Confab. And yeah, it's like, if you don't have those key pieces for somebody, how are you expecting someone to go out into the world and be your cheerleader, your champion?
And sell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No way. So there's this, you know, that clarity about genius and about positioning forms the foundation of everything. There are definitely things that you can delegate, but you delegate some things internally, you delegate some things externally. So there, it's a delicate balance.
And you've liked this metaphor in the past, but what I've recognized in sales or marketing or PR is that they are, I'm like, maybe this is unfair to say in this clear of a way, but they are just a megaphone. And what you give them, they amplify. And when they do it well, they amplify in a lot of great places, but they are simply amplifying what you give them. If you give them nothing,
well, I think the word you used a second ago is a great one, milquetoast. If your positioning, your marketing, all that messaging is milquetoast, guess what your sales rep or your PR firm is going to amplify?
Yeah. Which is just noise on top of other people's noise, because everyone's saying the same thing and it piles up. It's the one clear voice that cuts through the noise.
How do you become avocado toast? That's the real
right,
question.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, I was playing to my favorite delicacy.
Well, I was saying the one clear voice, like the noise on top of noise, megaphone. Really is like people piling together.
Yes, and here's my favorite example that everyone can identify with is the social media post in your feed that starts with these words, check out... ... Okay. I am on a mission to not only kill off the billable hour, but also kill off the phrase, check out our new reel, check out. I'm like, if that's all you have to say, that is milquetoast, and you are amplifying milquetoast.
Yeah. So this is what I've learned, by the way, with a lot of our clients, and maybe even just maybe the creative mind needs to know when to do what. So when it comes to finance, you have certain routines, same day of the week, same process, you get there. Production. So, you know, in the recent years, the discovery has been, hey, marketing, not just sales, looking at, you know, what client leads you have coming in, which is okay, but marketing needs its routine as well, so that you have a moment. And this is the key to proactively tell marketing, because marketing is so far out, weeks and weeks and weeks ahead of anything, that you need to know you're delivering a project in 3 weeks from now to begin the marketing today. So upon release, you can do it.
Right.
Or, you know, when it comes to award shows, you know, you've been nominated. Why not begin the process? Start thinking about what it means to win, what it would be to
leverage meetings,
leverage it, even leverage right. the nominations.
Yeah.
It's, there's no surprise, but it's almost the minute something is delivered is the minute someone says, oh, let's have a PR company cover this now. And that PR company is 3 weeks out from collecting information, gathering the data. So that routine has been very, very key now in a lot of the stuff that we do.
Well, once the positioning is nailed down, the team, like you mentioned, Ashley, everyone's on the same page. We all know what we're about, what we're saying to the world, how we speak, how we think. So it, in a way, this is when the owner can now get out of their own way, because you can now delegate to a marketing assistant. Okay, 6 weeks from now, we're going to promote something. What is it? And that person will say, we're going to promote so-and-so project. And the owner can relax saying, okay, great. You're going to get the point of view right, the wording right, the tone right, the how we talk about this client, right? You're going to get all that stuff right because they understand it. We all know what that means. And that means that system and routine can now work.
And that's, I mean, people have been listening to us for the last year, know the term saleskeeping, and that's where that term comes from. It's obviously sales and bookkeeping merged together, but most people have a bookkeeper. They know they don't want to go download the transactions off of Wells Fargo into their QuickBooks, and they don't do that. They delegate that very easily. And what we're trying to promote is there's part of your sales and marketing process that you can delegate to someone that does those routines and maintains those routines. And then you, like you do with your finances, have that weekly meeting to make those decisions, who to pay, how much you're going to pay, negotiate the deals.
Well, here's what Ashley and I say. It's amazing how at a company, you could be you're a creative firm. It's amazing how you will never miss depositing a check. Okay?
Nope.
You also, because you're a smart company and you're ethical and all these other things, you also won't fail to pay people on time. And this is what we call bookkeeping, right? Bookkeeping is money coming in, money going out. And it's amazing how people understand, yep, we're going to do these routines. And without fail, we will pay people. Without fail, we will deposit checks.
Every 2 weeks is payroll.
Yep.
We got that down.
Yep. System routine, no problem. But then we start talking about sales and marketing, and for some reason those rules don't apply, and people get into all kinds of trouble because what we call the feast or famine cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ashley and I's encouragement is simply, that's why we call it saleskeeping. We're going to create marketing and sales routines where every week, every 2 weeks, every month, without fail, I don't care how busy the owner is, these systems and routines will keep marching forward.
And it just wins because it's so proactive. You're actually, in a very funny way, I would say, creating your own future. You're pushing the information in a direction that you want to go so that those opportunities come to you through your sales pipeline, into your project pipeline, onto your website when you get done, and it repeats itself over and over again.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it is truly an outbound strategy rather than this, I would say, fashionable idea of, oh, let's create a bunch of stuff on social media and a bunch of awareness and the phone will ring. If the phone rings, right, for our clients, I say, great, that's gravy. But I want us to go create the future we want,
mm-hmm.
right? You remember the story of our client who said, the owner that was like, why are we working for Apple? And we looked around and we were like, well, I don't know, why aren't we working for Apple?
Have you ever called them?
Exactly. Right. And then we did some lead generation. We did some research. The EP reached out to some people. And I think it was 6 or 9 months later, this amazing, fabulous, fully under NDA, can't mention anything more project happened for Apple.
Yeah.
And it's just that moment when you sort of realize, stop being a victim. Go create the future. It's there for the taking.
Well, we live in a world where everyone thinks that you have to have immediate satisfaction after something happens, right? And it's kind of like dumbing it down and being like, okay, look, what you have to say is important, but it's not more important than everything else that's out there floating on the internet. So the more you plug consistently, the more opportunities you have to break through the noise of everybody else because you're staying top of mind.
Well, do you remember the client? We were talking to an owner last week about... Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we tried that. Yeah, but we tried that.
That's my favorite.
Right. Why is it your favorite?
It's my favorite because they always think that every opportunity that comes their way is exactly like the last one in some form or fashion. But I like to think that we do things a lot differently. Example, saleskeeping. Yeah, well, that marriage.
Well, I remember you were asking this person, well, why did you give up? And maybe you gave up too soon. Mm-hmm. And to your point about, well, we did some social media posts. We published a couple articles.
Oh, that was it. They had spent a couple $1,000s on a certain platform. And
oh, right, a CRM or something. Yeah. And then after a few months, they said, well, it just didn't work. And I remember they said, well, we got 2 or 3 meetings out of it. And yeah, and our response was,
per week?
Yeah, per week. That's exactly what we said. We said per week, and they said no. And over this entire engagement that was 6 months. And I thought, oh my gosh. Well, then actually you didn't try it. Because if you had tried it and only gotten 2 or 3 meetings in 6 months, that's total failure.
Total failure.
Like, that's so sad. Makes me mad. Because somebody got sold a bill of goods.
I almost wish that there was an ability to clean out the attic in people's mind of things that they've tried in the past, thinking that is the way it's always going to be. Because this almost like retraining people. They've heard these answers before. They've walked through these processes before. And then they get the results. So they're going to imagine if they try it again, or it sounds similar, so they try it again, they're going to get the same results they did last time. And it's absolutely not true.
You know, in my mind, it's almost like the person who says, I have a New Year's resolution, I've got to lower my cholesterol, and then they go to the gym and they work really, really hard for a month, they measure their blood, and they say, it didn't work. And then I would say,
You were eating 12 eggs a day.
Yeah, the answer all along was diet, not exercise, but they think, yeah, but I tried that.
Yeah. I tried the resolution. They didn't even try, like, they're even the different plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the thing you say? Fortune follows technique? Or what is it?
Right on. I don't know, but that's.
You have a term that you use, but the point is that I think so many people.
Technology follows technique.
There you go. That's it. I think so many
but
people.
But fortune follows technology, I guess. So
people put their eggs in one basket when it comes to like this new awesome platform that comes out, and they forget the reason why they're doing it and the fact that it's run by people. If you don't have people understanding the greater purpose, it doesn't matter what fancy platform you use, whether it's thousands of dollars a month or free. It's all about how you use it.
Well, you guys know me well enough that I'm have this like ability to put some systems and routines in place, which is cool. But also I choose to use Google Sheets because it's so accessible. And what I like to do is train the people into the process. It's the thought of a method that you're doing as humans and decision points you have to make as humans, not the piece of technology to automate that. And there are often times where that efficiency gained by technology skips the reality or some of those decision points, and hoping that you can just automate sales or automate finance or automate production. And you really can't. You want people to open their mouth, explain what's going on, and share that information from human to human in order for it to really work. You can't just type it out on some piece of paper or download it off of some spreadsheet.
Well, one saying I love that backs it up is, because this relates back to sales, maybe this is a good bookend, is that I heard this saying that said, in sales, you cannot control results. You can only control your actions. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's this idea of if you're doing the right things and you're doing them consistently, you will win.
Yeah.
But you don't just win because you press a button or because you call or because you met, quote, the right person or you hired, quote, the right rep. It's this consistent, do the right actions, results will follow.
Which is why we love Pipedrive, by the way, because it has that as the root of the software, and it takes training of people to follow the action base.
Right, but
steps.
To your point, it's actually not about the software. It's actually about the technique that it happens to support.
It represents the technique.
It allows you to say no and next, because you know that there's people in that pipeline that are coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, the pre-qualification.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to tell you about a place to connect that you might not know about. It's our online community called Rev Community. It's a great place to get to know other creative business owners like yourself, to share some thought leadership and read other encouragement, to be challenged in this new marketplace, new technology, ideas, economic trends. And it's a place to research. Check out many of the resources we have online, our videos, and of course, this podcast.
Join us today at revthink.com/community. If you're a creative studio owner, feel free to join us today at revthink.com/community. I look forward to seeing you there.